Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, December 9th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kbo.fm on the web. We've got Kitts Harbour's re-election announcement. A lot of history there and a lot of explaining to do. Kevin Gostola is with us too on talking points that the NSA management sends home with employees over Christmas to deflect questions from families about, Daddy, what did you do at the office today? And Ellen Brown joins us to discuss how public banking could have saved Detroit and might be the only way to save our own city in a grim future scenario. Ellen's most recent piece came out, was posted yesterday on Truthdig. Amend the Fed. We need a central bank that serves Main Street. Ellen is good. This is going to be a good one. And the weather for today, partly sunny, a chance of snow in the afternoon, highs around 30, light wind, except, of course, out in the gorge. And for tonight, clouds moving on, overcast skies, chance of snow and possibly freezing drizzle, lows around 25, and again, windy in the gorge, up to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, look for cloudy skies, snow is likely, and a chance of light freezing drizzle. Highs 30 to 35, and again, pretty much the same wind situation for Tuesday night, tomorrow night. Again, chance of snow, overcast skies, snow level down to around 1,000 feet, lows around 30, and breezy out in the gorge. An abbreviated alternative forecast. It's a first quarter flower moon in Aquarius. The moon is 6 days old. Never mind planting anything unless you have a greenhouse or a pickaxe. You might need both, the pickaxe to get yourself into the greenhouse. We have news from around Cascadia. There are, of course, the predictable assaults on the integrity of our environment, which always come this time of year. So, before we get into news from a local perspective, we want to start out with Ellen Brown joins us today. The piece that got me interested in speaking with you, Ellen, and welcome, of course, to the KBOO airwaves, was No More Detroits. Can public banking save cities? Public banking is an interesting idea that has cropped up in discussions, fiscal discussions, and city governance for a while now. It's one of those things like single payer where politicians are loath to be the first person to stand up as a strong proponent, but most people realize that inevitably some form of public banking is going to have to be implemented first to save cities and, of course, to address the widening income gap. Good morning, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Could you first briefly describe to listeners what public bank, what we mean by that phrase? What is public banking?
A public bank is one that's owned by the public. So the advantages, or the chief advantage, there are many advantages, but the main one is that we get the profits. The profits are recycled back into the local community, back basically to the government, which then uses it on its budget. And that lowers our tax burden for supporting the government, and it gives them a lot more resources. Plus, they have control over where this credit goes. Right now, the banking system, as we know it, is a huge drain on our whole economy. They get not just interest. Interest is a huge bite for municipal governments right now. I know in California, they did some... they're called capital appreciation bonds. The only way they could get money that they needed for education for different school districts was to borrow at interest rates where what would be owed in 30 years by the next generation is four times the principal of the loan. So they borrowed, I think it was $9 billion total, and they were going to owe $35 billion. So an outrageous sum just for the cost of borrowing. So if we own the bank, we the people own the bank, then we save all those borrowing costs. Plus, we avoid things like interest rate swaps, which is one of the main things that got Detroit into trouble, which are actually just bets on which way interest rates will go, although I'm sure the politicians who bought them didn't realize that they were getting into this huge casino. And it avoids the rating agencies and worrying about the bond market. So it's just a sustainable way of doing financing instead of having this huge parasitic drain on our economy.
Before I let you go, one last question. How would we get there from here? Banks aren't going to simply let go of the enormous clout that they wield currently. How do we get from our current situation to a healthier financial architecture of public banking?
Well, for that reason, we haven't even tried going at the federal level. I'm president of the Public Banking Institute, and what we're trying to do is to spread this concept and hopefully get some public banks set up. But where we still do have some influence is at our local level. So at the city level, the county level, or the state level, 20 states have now introduced bills of one sort or another for publicly owned banks. None have passed yet, but there's a lot of momentum for that. And a number of cities and counties are working on it.
Ellen, I'm very grateful to you for joining us today. There's a great deal more to talk about. It is, it's for many people, it's complicated and trying to understand how these rate swaps based on LIBOR actually work. I'd love to have you back to speak more to the issue. For now, though, can you let listeners know where they can go to read up on public banking and know what it is that we're talking about here?
Our website is publicbankinginstitute.org, and we have a lot of information there. And then my own websites are ellenbrown.com and webofdebt.com.
Web of Debt, in particular, Web of Debt, of course, refers to another piece that you did. It's really an extraordinary document and very, very pertinent to many of the problems that confront cities across the country. I think a great many other cities are merely are Detroit in the wings, just waiting for it to happen. Thanks again for that. My guest has been Ellen Brown. She's the president of the Public Banking Institute and author of The Public Bank Solution and Web of Debt. And the most recent piece, as I mentioned earlier, is in Truth Dig, came out yesterday, Amend the Fed. We need a central bank that serves Main Street. Thanks again for that, Ellen. Now, Kevin Gostola, welcome once again to the KBOO Airways. So glad to have you back. I wanted to talk to you about your piece. What the NSA is, the talking points the NSA has provided to employees to answer the question of, at Christmas time, when they are with their families, Daddy, what did you do at the office today? How does the NSA talk about what it does? Can we get into that? I mean, do we have talking points? Do we get any talking points from the NSA to take home to our families?
So the agency wants people to know that everything it's doing is by the book, lawful, compliant. Everyone at the NSA is a good person. I don't think anybody's questioned that there are good people that staff the NSA, but they're concerned that the agency, and apparently we're hearing after I published these talking points, that morale is low at the agency, and they're concerned that they don't get the credit they deserve. But, of course, the problem is that we've had many revelations from former NSA contractor Edward Snowden and whistleblower about how there's all this these different programs and tools for unlawful and unchecked surveillance. And that's the issue. It's not these people. It's what they're doing.
Sure, morale would be low if you suspect that you've been doing things that are illegal and at the behest of your boss and then turning around trying to explain your way out of it. Everyone knows that no one ever has ever talked their way out of trouble. And I guess that goes for the NSA employees as well. Right now, when you say morale is low, can you, at the moment, the NSA is, I guess, scrambling. Could you let listeners know, like, what you've been looking at right now regarding their spying on private individuals' communications and Snowden's revelations? I believe Snowden recently did do an interview. He did speak. No, he didn't do an interview. He spoke. He spoke publicly for the first time in a while. More is coming out. How much more do you think?
But the main thing to say is that there seems to be some dissent among people in the NSA, and I think that these talking points that I publish this document, and I encourage people to, after they listen, go to firedoglake.com and find this report so they can see how the NSA wants to frame what they do. But the reality is, I think that there's dissent among people in the NSA, and these talking points could be just as well for employees who are concerned about what they're being asked to do. And we've had less than 1% of the information that Glenn Greenwald, the journalist, and other journalists have obtained, Barton Gellman at Washington Post, that's been published. The Guardian has much more information to publish just today as we're talking, and you haven't even had a chance to get into it, but just today we're finding out that the NSA has been in online games like World of Warcraft and the Second Life, that they've been infiltrating that, and there are apparently other agents from the CIA and Pentagon that have been in there working along with the NSA. So this is a big deal, and people should continue to follow all these releases as they come out.
Yeah, I'm looking at your piece right now on Firedog Lake, and where to begin. There's a lot of talking points from my point of view that I would love to draw to listeners' attention. But there's a lot of material in here. When you mention the gaming business, their intrusion into even that aspect of life, the NSA, as you see point out in this article, asserts it doesn't steal industry secrets or demand changes by vendors to any products. But of course, then what's going on? Because clearly they are looking into all of these aspects of life. So end would this kind of spying actually relate? It's hard to understand unless they, of course, work for private industry, and it seems evident that as well as the government, they work for the private sector as well. It says you mentioned in this piece target. The agency claims the NSA does not target U.S. citizens or permanent residents. There. Keith Alexander sought to discredit radical Muslims by spying on their porn viewing habits. One of the six targets discussed in the document was a U.S. person. None of these people targeted were believed by the NSA to be involved in any terrorist plots. How are they going to get out of this? Because pretty much everything they're doing really is, in fact, illegal. How do they get out? They've got them dug themselves a very deep hole.
Yeah, well, they've recruited the Senator Dianne Feinstein and Representative Mike Rogers, who chair the Intelligence Committee, to hopefully insulate them and make it so they don't have to give up any of this power. They want nothing less than total control of all communications, all control of flowing information, whether terrorists or illegal people doing illegal things, or criminals are using these communications and they can prove that they can find them, and you know whether they can actually do anything to fight crime or terrorism through these communications.
We're out of time. All I want to leave listeners with this: go to Fire Dog Lake, read the article. It's an eye opener. And again, Kevin, thank you so much for Kevin Gastol, of course, the author of the piece. This has been Eka Skidia for Monday, December 9th, 2013. Thanks so much, Sam Parrish, engineer the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara.